This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Orioles have some decisions to make. We keep talking about what are they going to do with Santander, what are they going to do with Burns, and those are the top free agents. But they've got some other guys that they have to concern themselves with. CNL Perez is one. I think he walks, to be honest with you. Jorge Mateo is another. I think he walks, to be honest with you, as well. But John Means is a very interesting case, Ed Norris. John Means is probably not going to pitch at all in 2025, if maybe August, September, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he pitches for the majority of the season in 2025. I think now's the time to lock him in to like a 2-year friendly deal, mm-hmm. to where you, because you got to rehab him. He got hurt. Yeah. He got hurt on your watch. So you're responsible for rehabbing him. I would lock him into a 2-year, maybe $5 or $6 billion deal, because he's going to take it because nobody else is going to pay him right now. Rehab him up next year, bring him back for 26, and let him pitch for a contract. And if he earns it after that, guys, I'd give it to him. But I would lock him up for 2 years right now, because he's probably going to take whatever you put in front of him.
How much do you think that's going to cost?
I say about 2 years, 5 or 6.
You think it's 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the deal. I mean
what can you ask for? If you're John Means, what can you ask for?
It just depends hitting the open market. It's like, hey, I got this offer. You don't know what another team's going to throw at him just because.
That's why I throw it in front of him now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Like, you're... It's a low risk, high reward type thing. Like, I mean, what's $5 million to a guy like, what's $5 million to this team, honestly, in grand scheme of things? So yeah, like kicking the tires on something like that, seeing if John Means can get it back together.
Be 32 years old.
Only problem is, like, it's, you guys know it as well as I do. We all love John Means, but it's been every year.
Yeah.
It's been an injury every single year.
Same injury, though.
Yeah.
See, John Means in the past 2 seasons has thrown 8 starts. Started 8 games. His ERA is about 2.65 in those starts. He's thrown a no-hitter. He's not a big strikeout guy. He's not giving up fewer hits than he's pitched. He's been sensational, Ed. I think it's worth the sign that 2-year deal. I would throw it in front of him before he hits free agency. It means he. We've got to rehab you. 2 years, $5 million. 2 years, $6 million. Whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. As a team, whatever you want to do, and I'll rehab him and bring him back.
Yeah, I think. Well, I'd like to see them bring him back. I mean, he's when he's on and when he's good, he's dominant. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers we have. I'd love to see it. I'd hate to see him walk, and and someone else takes care of him.
Do you think there's any chance that he ends up extending his career by becoming a bullpen piece? I mean, you're lefty. People are always looking. I don't know if that's something he envisions.
There's always a chance. There's always a chance. However, no. I don't think, but there's always a chance.
There's some guys that are just so much more comfortable being in their role, knowing, like, I'm pitching every fifth day instead of, they want me now? Well, it's my turn?
And not only that, Jeremy, in 78 games, he started 73. In the American League East, his career ERA is 3.68. In the American League East, his whip is 1.05.
And by the way, that's through the juiced era, too.
Yes. Like, yes. In the American League East, those are his numbers. His ERA plus is 123.
Yeah. I mean, look.
His FIP is 4.56.
I love watching this guy pitch because he is. He's just one of those guys. Like, he's not going to overwhelm you with his fastball and power, even though, like, there was a point in time where he started humping it up there that summer when he was practicing with his brother.
Yeah.
He was pitching to him that he was getting it in the mid to upper 90s. But again, it felt like he lost some of his control. So I feel like him staying in that 92, 93 range is right where he should be. Maybe it's a little less than that after these surgeries and injuries. I don't know. But I would agree with Rob. Like, we all said we're past the point of kicking the tires on these you know, trash pitchers that have been around. We know John Means. We know what he's capable of. And it's not like you're sitting here offering him $20 million to come back, not knowing if he's ever going to pitch for you.
And see, this is what I'm thinking. Ed, this will be my 2025 version of dumpster diving. I'm dumpster diving with a player of mine.
You have.
Who's injured. Okay. That would be my dumpster dive of 2025.
Well, he's got the answer for this one. What about the other two?
I just told you. I let them walk.
You're letting both of them walk?
Yeah.
Well, Mateo, I want to ask Ed because Ed's a Mateo fan. That's a tough injury to come back from, too, to see if he's going to be the same type of player.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nasty injury. You letting him walk?
Not sure. I'd have to judge by the injury.
And see where he's at in his recovery?
Yeah, because besides what I think the team likes him.
I think everybody likes him. I mean, he's...
Yeah. Well, I think they see value in him, and they want him on the roster. So, but I would definitely have to see it, because with him, the nature of injury, since speed is such a big part of his game, and all these injuries affect you, you know, as far as movement. It doesn't matter where it is.
I think they like him, but with Jackson Holliday here, Kobe Mayo projected to be here next year, they're going to keep Arias.
With Gunner's at short.
What does he fit?
Well, that's my...
Like, he doesn't fit.
Well, I don't think he's at that point where he wants to be the guy coming off the bench to steal bases and to spell other guys. I think he thinks he's better than that, there's a team that will give him an opportunity.
Ain't no room on the bench here for him.
Well, that's... Look, I'm in the same boat with you.
You got Solid J coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else is coming up next year. There's no room on the bench for him.
Basayo,
yeah. I mean, you got... Ain't no room on the bench for this cat.
Let me spend some time...
Why is McCann not on the list then?
Because I almost think that's a foregone conclusion because you have both catchers coming up.
Hmm?
Or both catchers going to be here.
Messiah's coming up. Where's McCann go?
Another team.
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
He's gone.
But, you know,
I hate it. I don't like it. I'm not celebrating that. But that's a personal thing. That's not a. He'll be 35 years old next year.
Yeah.
And he's being batted 234.
Let me spend a few seconds on Cino Perez, though. All right, I'm good. I'm good.
That's what I thought.
We can go on to something. Because look, and I'm not trying to be dismissive. Bullpen pieces.
Even though you just were?
Yeah. ERA 4.5. Yeah,
well, bullpen pieces, it's cyclical sometimes. Like you'll see a guy's like, that guy was so amazing last year. What happened to him this year?
4.5. Let me explain something to you. You both. You both would love seeing Al Perez. You both would.
Oh,
outside of the clubhouse, you would love him.
Catching home runs in his hat.
You would love him. However, knowing you two, you were like, boom, you know, I love him when I want somebody else to pitch for me.
Yeah.
It's just, I love him. I do, but he's got
to
go.
Yeah, you can come to the party. You just can't spend a night.
Let's go to Ellicott City and get Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing well.
How
are you?
Good topic. I feel like, you know, it's kind of a shame for Mateo, but he's just going to get beat out by the young guys. Like, you know, just a couple years prior, just going a little rougher on him probably didn't help him. But a great baseball player going to do good for somebody. Seeing El Perez, I'm kind of with you guys. It just looks like by the way he acts and the way he carries himself, he seems like a guy we'd want to have around here. And I hope they bring him back.
Then you're not with us.
Against you on the John Means, though, Rob. He's been worthless to us, dude. We got to get rid of him.
No, you're against us on CNL Perez, too. We said we like him, but we don't want to bring him back. You misunderstood that. We like him. Well, bring him back.
And look, it's a hard argument to make with what Kevin's talking about, too. Like, I wouldn't call John Means worthless, but I get his point that the injuries happen every year. Yeah, so
he's injury prone. He's not worthless. By the way, I'm getting a lot of Barry White references on Twitter.
No.
No more Tom Oak.
Even Simpsons. Barry White.
I think you sound like you're almost tomorrow. You'll be at Jimmy Whispers. That's what.
Hey, what's happening with y'all out there?
Yeah, you probably are you gonna be here tomorrow?
That didn't sound like Jimmy Whispers. Sounded like a combination. What?
That was Jimmy Whispers.
That was insulting, Ed. Did you hear the?
You're trying too hard with this one.
That he used on that one.
Hey, bruh.
Did you hear that? What is that? What am I? Shot a job it now? Is that what I'm doing now?
Are you calling me racist? Oh, no. We're going to get to that in shovels. Nah. Sorry.
I don't think you're racist. I just think you the world is stupid. I don't think you're racist.
Nah, you
at all.
Ass.
Pathfinders for Autism will join us at 8 o'clock for a very special event that we're doing next Thursday. I think you all would love it. And you know what? If the Dodgers continue to play this way, Jeremy Kahn will pay for many of you to come because that's what we're going to do with his money. But speaking of Jeremy Cotton, on the other side, World of Stupid.
I should be featured in this for the Dodgers and their eventual downfall that happens every year. But let's talk about a couple different things. How about a Florida man that refuses to leave? He's got one leg. He's staying on a boat.
He's in the path of the hurricane?
Yeah, he's gonna stay on his boat during the hurricane because it's a boat. It floats
right
on water.
Yeah.
And there's more water coming in.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about a homeowner that had to call the cops after her yard was taken over by more than 100 raccoons demanding food.
100?
You got to see the video of this. This is insane. Like, where the hell did they come from? And lastly, man, Colorado worker loses both legs in a wood chipper freak accident on his first day on the job.
Oh.
What could be more stupid than that? That's coming up here on The Fan. All right, this is an interesting situation with what's going on in Florida. Anytime an area has been asked to be evacuated, you have people that can't get out, people that won't get out. I mean, all different types, right? Ed, you're dealing with it now in your house down in Florida.
Yeah.
There are certain people that just won't leave. Well, there's a Florida man nicknamed Lieutenant Dan. He has one leg, and he's on a boat, so, yeah, it fits.
Why'd it go?
Lieutenant Dan didn't have any legs.
Why is he a lieutenant?
Well, because he doesn't have any legs, and he's on a boat. That's why Lieutenant Dan was from Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yes.
I know you do.
Saw it. I didn't remember. It was
well, Lieutenant Dan was prominent, yeah. I think.
Lieutenant
yeah.
Dan.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. It went by me.
So this guy won't be leaving the Category 5 hurricane on his 20-foot sailboat. Here's some sound on why.
And 20-foot storm surge.
Eh, it could be 120. It doesn't matter. The boat floats. That's the whole thing. Keep the water on the outside of the boat, and the boat will go up with the water and down with the water. That's what we want to do.
Can we please get you into a hotel?
No.
Everybody's been asking, man. We got to get you off this thing.
Listen, the only way I'm going to go to a motel room is if a woman invites me and she's going to stay. That's the only way I'm going. That's the only thing I'd give the boat up for is a girl.
A girl, the Jenny, for a girl. Even with the 150 mile an hour winds.
You know what? I ain't worried about none of that.
Not worried, guys.
Listen, you see this tattoo right here? IGY6. I got you six. I got your back. Because yes, God's got mine. So if I say I got you, I got you. And if I got you, God got you. I ain't worried about it, man. I really, what am I going to fear? Dying? My only fear is waking up tomorrow broke.
All right, that's fair.
By the way,
he would be the guy that survives.
I don't know. I think he's going to get his wish and meet God real soon.
Well, this is a couple different things. This guy also supports the jump up and down method after sex. That usually works for him. And also, looking at this, remember the old joke about the whole thing about sending, like, here comes a boat, here comes a helicopter, and here comes the police. No, I'm waiting for God to send me a sign that someone's coming. And then he gets to heaven, and God's like, I sent you a boat, a helicopter. What if this is God sending you someone saying, we're going to give you a hotel so you're safe? It's just, and by the way, he does have one. They did ask him at one point, it was another video of, what are you going to do if you get in the water? It's 200 mile an hour winds. Like, his boat's just going to stay.
It's more than that. It's everything. It's there's still debris from Helene. So do you realize what it's going to be when it picks up those boards and air conditioners and all this other stuff at 130 miles an hour?
Yeah, but he's on a boat. As long as it floats, he's fine. Just unreal, man. All right, let's get to this. I'll show you the video. Homeowner calls the cops after yard taken over by more than 100 raccoons demanding food. This was a first.
Demanding food?
Yeah, I mean, they're just... It's wow. kind of crazy. Like, we had... I told you, we had, like, the Eric Cartman...
That is nuts.
Were they written demands? They're picket signs.
Hey, Robbie, they're all wearing masks.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Trash pandas.
It's a robbery. Don't wear those masks.
Yeah, but you know, the thing with this, too, is...
a raccoon robbery.
I don't care what it is. 100 of anything is just... I don't want to say frightening, but it's not going to give you...
That's excessive.
100 raccoons. No,
they freak me out anyway.
They do. I know.
I always like when
the eyes.
Yeah. But I like when they come up when cats are eating their food or whatever, mm-hmm. or dogs, and they come walking up, and they just grab some of their food and take off and run. And the dogs and cats are like... Who the hell is this cat? He just steal my food? But yeah, it's a crazy-ass picture to see. I'll post it on social media so you guys can see it at JCon Sports if you want to see this visual of all these raccoons coming up to this door. I couldn't imagine what... Like, I've seen ones where bears have been in people's backyards. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't want to run into one bear, let alone two or three. But 100 things coming at you is a lot different than one. It's just, depending on what they're...
One or two is harmless. 100, that's a gang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, throw them up. All right, this story is sad. Miracle Colorado worker loses both legs in a wood chipper freak accident on the first day on the job. How on earth he survived? John O'Neill, 33, fitted with a court-ordered ankle monitor.
Is Neil really in his name?
O'Neill, yeah. That's I didn't even pick up on that. That's great. He had a court-ordered ankle monitor, was throwing tree branches into the machine when one caught the tracking device and dragged him into the chipper.
Oh
my God. O'Neill, who battled addiction, is now sober and excited about his new job, had both legs amputated above his knee before the life-altering accident at 10:18 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
It's beyond a miracle that John is still with us, and he's fighting harder than ever. O'Neill's friend George Safir wrote on his GoFundMe, "Our friend has always been pretty reckless and living life on the edge, all while doing so being a warrior in life." Let me show you the after effects of, I mean, he is smiling, but he ain't got no legs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Could you, like, I'm trying to think of anything. So my ex-wife, her stepfather worked at one of the tile pressing plants.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's like her... how do I say tile? It's like shingles, like pressing and make. His shirt got caught and pulled in to the machine, and it smashed his arm. Just it's gone. Like they have to amputate
it. Yeah,
it's gone. And we had it set up where he had a lawyer and was going to be able to set himself up. Too honest of a guy and didn't blame anybody but himself and wouldn't do it. He stayed on the job. Got a nice little job for himself. Mm-hmm. He's since passed, but. He got a nice little job for himself working, but he could have been comfortable not working anymore.
Is there anything really such thing as too honest, though?
I mean, look, if you could walk away with $1 million and not have to work in that factory anymore for the rest of your life or a couple million because of what happened, like his sleeve got caught in the machine and there was no way out of it. What?
I mean, this guy's going to make money. His ankle brace that the government made him wear got caught in the branch.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I don't know if... I would label him too honest.
Okay.
I mean, he'd have to live with that. Maybe he's not that kind of guy.
Well, could have helped him out and got him out of a townhome, rundown townhome, and I don't know, whatever. That's neither here nor there, but I could only imagine getting caught in one of those things and what's going through your mind as you're slowly getting pulled in. I mean, we've all watched every... Horrible.
Watch Fargo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've all watched every horrible, tying someone to the railroad tracks, and here comes a train. And you know,
slightly whiplash.
Yeah, all like, and you're like, oh my God, is it going to happen? James Bond's tied to a conveyor belt, and he's trying to...
Batman's tied to a conveyor belt with a buzzsaw at the end.
Yeah, it's exactly. So, stupid things, missing legs, that's your world of stupid.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ryan Ripken will join us at 8:30. Rebecca Rizzino from Pathfinders for Autism will join us at 8. But on the other side, the Commanders are coming to town. Is it clear that the Ravens' Achilles heel is their defense? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Talking Ravens on the Fan.
We chase perfection. You know, we expect to do a much better job against the pass than we had. They made a lot of tight throws. I mean, all those stop throws were well covered in the first half. Then there were times that guys were a little more open than we need them to be, and that's something we got to work on. You know, we're not there with our pass defense yet.
No, they're not there with their pass defense yet. That's Harbaugh post-game on Sunday. Ed, do you believe that this team, the biggest Achilles heel on this team, is the defense?
I don't think there's any question right now. It's hard to actually say that because you're so used to them having a top 10 defense, most times top 5. It's just, you know, to look at them now and like, man, they give up a lot of passing yards, a lot of passing touchdowns. So, I don't know what else to say, but yes. I mean, to me, this is their weakness. When you look at yards per game with this team, the only team that gives up more is the Jaguars. It's just, I don't know, very tough to
now
tough to believe.
Are they bad or is this kind of a situational thing? When we're through five games, as we've looked at it, you face Kansas City. By the way, Kansas City has, like I mentioned this the other day, Pat Mahomes is throwing an interception.
And that's passing defense I'm talking about, obviously. Yeah.
Their run defense is tops in the league.
Yeah.
Or at least I'd have to go back and look at it now, but it was. But you look at the different things that have gone on. So you build a huge lead against
Russia
the Raiders.
Still number one.
And blow it. Yeah. And then you go to Dallas, you build a huge lead and then blow it. It's like all those junk yards that Dallas picked up to not win a game does affect you. It doesn't help. And this isn't me saying that the defense is good. The same thing happened when Mike McDonald was here when he first took over as defensive coordinator. Remember when people were questioning him? Oh, God, this is your guy? Rex Ryan was even on TV going, oh, look at this. We've got this genius young defensive coordinator. Doesn't look so genius. And then he did. So, I mean, I think you're kind of hoping that Zach Orr, being thrust into this position his first time doing it, that he starts to figure out what he wants his team to look like. I think this is the perfect week for them to take that step forward. And I've talked about this with Jaden Daniels. I think the kid's special. I think he's going to be really good. Had the lowest ADOT amongst quarterbacks in the league. They throw a lot of underneath stuff. You take away Brian Robinson, which the Ravens will do in the run game.
Yeah.
Let's see what he looks like. And we know what the Ravens have done historically against rookie quarterbacks. And I keep saying it. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. And even if it doesn't work out this weekend, the Washington defense is tailor-made for what the Ravens do. They're the worst on third down in the league. They don't stop the pass. They don't stop the run. They give up the most points. It's like you start looking at some of those things. They're not the most points, but they're in that bottom portion of the league.
Right.
Other than that, they're great. So that's why it's like it's so irritating to hear Washington fans. And I don't dislike Washington fans to come out and everybody's like, oh, you guys are in for like. You got a little taste of success. Act like you've been there before, Chief.
They haven't. That's you can't. That'll be a tremendous
in the
act.
90s.
Okay,
it's going to be interesting because they have the second best rushing offense in the league behind the Ravens. So we have the best. We have the best rushing defense against the second best rushing offense. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
But that's. I don't want to take anything away from Brian Robinson. The reason that they're up that high is because of Jaden Daniels adding into it. The same reason like Lamar adds into it here.
Of course.
But what we've seen from Derrick Henry, I think Washington's got their hands full this weekend.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, look, this passing defense, I think it gets better throughout the year, but it's just weird. The pass rush has looked good. The pass defense is not. Like, to me, some of this is maybe they're not the worst passing defense in the league or at the bottom five. Maybe they're more middle of the pack. I think that's probably more likely. We thought the secondary was going to be a strength coming into this year.
I thought it was going to be the strongest unit on the team.
Yeah. How do you feel, Rob?
I feel like crap, but can it get better? I think it can get better because I think some of it is schematic. I do. I think they give up too much in the middle of the field, which to me is scheme. I think sometimes they have wrong matchups. Why is Why is Roquan Smith covering receivers that far away from the line of scrimmage? I think a lot of it is schematic, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think they can get better at it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got some pieces there in the secondary. It's kind of weird. We've had some questions about Brandon, Stevens, and what he's done as far as, Ed keeps yelling, turn around, look for the damn ball. That was something last year where we're like, man, this is a pleasant surprise how good he's actually playing. And then you bring in a Wiggins, and he's looked really good. He's only going to get better as time goes on.
Williams is looking bad.
He just looks lost. I mean, What transpired on that that play this past weekend where Jamar Chase just went, oh, and look, it's Jamar Chase, but still, it was just...
T. Higgins is no slouch either.
Yeah, but you had the angle, and all of a sudden, he just gave you a little, yeah, you're not getting me, and just ran right by him.
Yeah,
but you're talking about some of the top receivers in the league, though.
I know.
I mean, you know, they run right by a lot of people. It's hard for me to grade you on this.
Well, that's why, like, when we look at the situation here, it's the ghost of Zach Ertz at tight end. Deami Brown, are you concerned about, you start looking at the different receivers on this team. Terry McLaurin's the one guy.
Scary Terry.
So what happens if you're able to take away Brian Robinson? What happens if you're able to take away Scary Terry in the game and double him? Somebody else has to make a play. And I'm not saying they can't. Austin Eckler had a 60-yard run this weekend. You know, he's very capable out of the backfield. Guys like that, those gadget players they have, that's what scares me more. And then if Jaden Daniels can look like Jaden Daniels has looked against this defense, look, they can stay in the game. I just don't see it.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ravens taking on the Washington Commanders this weekend. And I agree with Jeremy, a lot of you the Commanders fans, man, you walk the strutting around like peacocks. Do something first.
Mm-hmm.
Come on up here to Baltimore, get your comeuppance, and go back to the lab, get it right. That's what's going to have to happen on Sunday, Jeremy.
I think that's what happens. I try not to talk in exacts like it's a foregone conclusion. I feel so effing good about this. And I'm not even your diehard Ravens fan. Like, I'll bet against them anytime I feel like it's the right time to go against them. I just feel the Washington Commanders, you saw what they did to Dallas. They're going to do the same damn thing to this Washington team. It's a matter of whether or not they get that 10-point lead, 14-point lead, and they take their foot off the gas pedal.
That's always a concern.
Yeah.
That's a huge concern of mine. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're going to stick it with the Ravens and Commanders. If Jaden Daniels beats the Ravens on Sunday, will you officially believe in this rookie? And does he lock up the Rookie of the Year award for the offense? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
If he went out there and dominated against the Baltimore Ravens next week and they play them this week, that would be huge.
I for sure think it's going to get done. Like, I think he can do it because he got that swag to him. Like, he got that confidence. Like, I know I'm like that, you know? I feel like him with his talent and his ability, and, like, he got that behind him and that support, like, sky's the limit for him.
That's Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs on the Edge podcast. And they believe, Jeremy Kahn, that this kid, Jaden Daniels, can beat the Ravens.
That's a great breakdown. He's got swag, so he's going to beat him. Does Lamar not have swag? Oh, they both got swag. Who wins?
Hey, it's just, who can out-swag the other?
To me,
swagalicious.
To me, Trayvon, it sounds like sour grapes from getting your ass beat. That's what it sounds like a few weeks ago as the Ravens came to town.
You can't bring that up. That was 3 weeks ago, according to Rashawn.
Yeah, but he roots for both teams, so whatever. You know, it's like we sit here and it's funny. And again, I don't want people to think I'm dismissing Jaden Daniels at all. But when you label Lamar a poor man's Jaden Daniels, as one reporter did,
that really chaps your ass, doesn't
it? It's so the guy's won two MVPs. It's so disrespectful to him. And on top of it, it's disrespectful to put that type of pressure on Jaden Daniels. Like, hey, you're going to label him that?
He's never going to let that go. I think Lamar's let that go.
I mean, it is galling because, if nothing else, we see him play every week. He's won two MVPs. He's not even 30 years old. He's not even close. It's like he's won two MVPs. You know how hard that is to do? What elite company he's in? To say that is outrageous.
You know, yeah. First 5 years he did it. It's just, it's unbelievable when people start, it's what we've become in this whole media world where it's like, it doesn't have to be truth. It has to be my version of the truth or what I believe it's going to be, and I will present it to you. And now in like sports, there's so many just BS hot take shows. I don't care if I'm wrong. I don't care if I say something so ridiculous. As long as you talk about me, I'm getting attention. You know, I'm getting my engagements on social media. That's what this is.
So what we get from this is Jeremy Kahn is completely dismissing Jaden Daniels. That's what we get from
That's fair. That's fair. I said all along, I really like the top two guys that were drafted. I didn't believe in any of the other ones. I still don't believe in Bo Nix. Last week was the first good game he had.
He's winning.
He won three games. Yeah. So take that for what it's worth. But that being said, you know, we're going to get to see Drake May behind that awful offensive line for the Patriots now. And there's some other situations around the league, too, with other younger quarterbacks. But Jaden Daniels has looked the best of the bunch. He did not look good through the first 2 weeks. Week three clicked in, and now all of a sudden everybody's jumped on that bandwagon. We'll see. I think the level of competition, depending on who you're playing, where you're playing them. It's a road game against a team that usually does a phenomenal job against rookie quarterbacks and a team that has, I'll say it, the best offense in the league right now.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Owings Mills and get Brian. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Sound like
you need a little bit of tea there, Rob. Got a little sore throat there.
I've drank a lot of tea, Brian, since this last night, man. I probably drank damn near a gallon of hot tea.
Gallon of hot tea. Okay. Well, hopefully I can make you laugh this morning, man. Let's talk about the clown show that is the New York Jets. Let's talk about why they got to do Xerxes like that, man.
Xerxes, man.
What is going on?
They escorted him out the building, man, with security.
They escorted him out the building with security. What is going on? And you let Aaron Rodgers, the diva, with a dress and his lover over there, acting you don't say nothing to them. And you didn't want to trade for Hassan Riddick, right? I mean, Devontae Adams. What about the Riddick deal? You got him, the ink even dry on that. You ain't getting nothing done yet. That, man, I'm telling you. You think any – they keep saying in the fans on the podcast, like, yeah, we're going to get Bill Belichick. You think Bill Belichick wants to go to the dysfunctional organization like that?
He was there once. He turned it down for the Patriots.
Yeah. They had to give up a draft pick for him.
Yeah. He loves beating their ass more than anything, though.
Yeah.
But nobody with any insane mind would want to go play for that organization. They are bad. Look at the records. Herman Edwards, Dolson. I mean, I'm not saying they're winners, but behind that, though, look at the general managers they went through. That is a bad, that is a telling sign right there. And you think they're just going to get a respectable coach that won't play that. That's why I said we don't need 32 teams. We just need 31. I liked it when we had 31 teams. That team, they can go play for the Canadian team if they can even play there. Y'all have a good one.
You too.
Well, this is this fight with Q. It's like, because the fact is, you could be the worst team in the NFL. I mean, a horror show. They're going to go there.
Yeah.
Exactly what Rob said 3 segments ago. Yeah. There's only 32 of those jobs. So that's just not true.
The only way you're not taking the job is if 3 teams or 2 teams want you and then another one.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it's not.
But you could be the Browns, the Jets, the Panthers.
If you have a choice, this is the only, if I have different. The Jets and a better choice, I don't go to the Jets.
They're going there.
But if that's the offer that I get, come on, dude.
And Joe Douglas has been the GM there for 5 years already. So it's not true.
But don't let facts get in the way of his comment.
No, I mean, you can't. It's like.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny. It just, but it's just not true. It's just funny.
He called that man Xerxes. Do you know who that is from 300?
Yes.
But let the record show, Ed. I was never a fan of Robert Saleh. Never. I thought he was a hype machine.
I think he's a great defensive coach.
I think he's a cheerleader.
I think he's a great defense. I mean, look at their defense is still great. It's just the offense leaves them out there, Aaron. Aaron, did you know that? If you pick up a first down, the defense gets a little bit of a rest there, jackass.
Never fair.
Well, it's interesting because Xerxes was actually killed by his own people. He was.
Well, not until they handcuffed him and didn't let him talk to his troops before they moved him out.
Brian, why did you bring up Xerxes? Now, this guy is going to be down a 300 rabbit hole for the next 2 hours and 6 minutes.
We're going to be talking about Persians.
Oh,
and
my God.
When they switched to Iran.
Why do you guys do this to us?
Iran.
Why do you do this to us?
Far away.
Come on. I told you. He's Cliff from Cheers.
Yeah. Little known fact there, Normie.
It's Cliff. I don't know if you know this, Norm.
Little known fact, Normie.
That's who he is, man. That's ridiculous.
I sat next to him. I was going to a Persian restaurant every day for years, and I finally tell him, you know, that means Iran. He goes, it does not, they're Persian. All right.
Oh, man. Xerxes.
We're going to have a great, great event next Thursday at the Humidor on the Hill up there in Cockeysville, which is a great place, and you know that. They're great people.
I love those people.
Oh, good my people. Gosh. I go there sometimes after work and just decompress.
They really do. They're just good family.
Yes, they are. But we're going to have a great event. Capital Grill is going to be there with the VIP. Got cigars, bourbon, the whole nine. And it benefits an organization that is near and dear to my heart, Pathfinders for Autism. Vince Fiduccio was joining us up next to talk about that event that we have next week right here on The Fan.